Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Let it flow! Let just up go! Slow and low, that is the tempo!
The storm's eye and eye wall could come ashore in the Tampa area and unleash record storm surge, potentially becoming the worst storm to hit the city in over 100 years.
You're going to get out now.
NOAA officials warning that the destruction from Hurricane Milton is already roughly projected to cost, quote, multiple tens of billions of dollars.
There's still a lot of debris out there. So it is a concern, and we're running out of time with that, which is another reason why the best thing that we can advise for people at this time is those are the areas that are required to evacuate, so please do so.
Well, Pensacola Bay Center is now open for evacuees from Hurricane Milton. This is the first time, in fact, the center has been open for evacuees since Hurricane Irma in 2017. It has enough room to accommodate 2,000 people, they say. And staff from the Tallahassee Red Cross are on site preparing food and providing water.
Yeah, so not much has actually changed in terms of the forecast, other than stronger than expected. Again, John, you and I have talked about this so many times now. We've talked about this with emergency managers and, you know, city or county administrators from both counties, how the cone is reliable.
Right.
The intensity projections... flip a coin. Like, it's, we don't know.
Right.
And, you know, storms can be much stronger or weaker than expected. In fact, it's one of those things where if you look at the spaghetti models, other than always is that one drunk uncle early on, you know, but typically they're very coherent and then they don't change, right?
Right.
So don't be too worried when you see the one drunk uncle. That's never been the case. They always, you know, sober up by the morning. But when it comes to the intensity models, they're all over the place. And they're wrong. And then even the ones of, like, the same day. I mean, the expectation had been that this would maybe get back to a 5 and then slow down again. Well, it's still a Category 5, 160 miles an hour, you know, as of now. And it's going to stay at least a 4. And landfall, we had been saying, was going to be as a 3, but it's now projected to be more of a 4 still when it hits landfall. And, you know, wind speed, of course, as we've said many times, is not really the big issue. Although, with all the uncollected debris all over western Florida, that's going to be a problem, right? Because that's just ammunition for the storm. You know, you tie down your, you know, or something, you tie down your trampolines and you put your grills indoor and all that kind of stuff. Well, they got all those piles and piles and piles of debris just sitting out on the street waiting to be picked up by the wind and thrown around at 150 or 40 miles an hour. That's part of the problem. Storm surge, obviously a big part of the problem. And again, this thing is extraordinarily strong. The last time that Tampa had a storm this strong was like 100 years ago. I mean, it never happens. And of course, when you think about the geography of Tampa Bay, pushing water, it's like you couldn't imagine a worse geography for pushing surge than the way Tampa Bay is constructed, because it's swirling counterclockwise east and then north, and it's going to literally push all that water into the bay and then up the bay. And, you know, the last time you had a big storm like this in Tampa, the population was, I read it, I don't remember the number, but it was, you know, tens of thousands. Well, Tampa Bay has millions of people now, right? So, good Lord. 6 million people under an evacuation order right now. 6 million. And, you know, trying to get out. What did the governor say the other day?
Get out now.
Get out now. You don't have to wait until later. What does it turn out the governor should have said? Get out now. You don't have to wait until later. I mean, I remember, you know, even yesterday we were kind of talking about what local emergency management is doing in response. Escambia Emergency Management's already deployed to, is it Leon? That's what I have in my head. Let me just real quick check my notes. But they're already deployed waiting for the storm to pass so they can basically jump out and act. Is, you know, how all that's going to go. But, you know, we opened the base. I remember Brad Baker, we talked to him yesterday, Santa Rosa County Administrator, and said that, you know, they were trying to figure out what they were going to do, because if Escambia opens the Bay Center, they don't necessarily need to open anything in Santa Rosa County. But if Escambia doesn't open the Bay Center, then they'll probably do something. So until the Bay Center starts to get full, if it does, then there's no need. Well, Bay Center opened, actually, it was going to be at 6 yesterday, and they pushed it up to 4, I think, in the end. Which is a pet friendly, okay, which is good, obviously, but not just, and Scotland Williams, by the way, who works for the emergency management here in Escambia County, she's a, I always want to get these talked about. She's a meteorologist, okay? So they actually brought on a meteorologist to work for the county in emergency management, which is kind of a cool thing when they hired her.
The state of Florida, Florida Division of Emergency Management, is hosting this shelter, or they are really staffing and managing the shelter, and Red Cross volunteers will work the shelter, operate it. So we always say that shelters are a lifeboat, not a cruise ship. But for host sheltering, it's a little bit different. They do try to make it a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah, so, you know, I haven't looked or asked to see how many people are there now, but you got to figure that that number is going to go up dramatically today. And also, this is an interesting note, just to kind of get a sense of what people are worried about scope-wise. So we opened the Bay Center, which is nice. I mean, I'm assuming the capacity at the Bay Center is several hundred, maybe. I wouldn't think it'd be even probably 1,000, but maybe, you know, I mean, seats are one thing, right? 5,000 right. seats, you can't just put people in the seats. That's not how that works, okay? But, you know, I would figure several hundred. Alabama is actually opening space for refugees. All the state parks, all 21 state parks have been made designated, you know, refugee campground areas. So anywhere in Alabama, you can flee the storm.
That's awesome.
Which is great. I mean, it was kind of weird. You never know which things are going to kind of catch you sideways. Mm-hmm. That actually brought a little bit of a tear to my eye too. I could hear it in your voice. Yeah. Like when you first hear that, you're like, oh, that just makes you happy. Like that's a horrible thing to have to adapt to, but the fact that they're doing it so eagerly is kind of like, I wasn't expecting kindness from that vector today. You know, so it's really, that's a neat thing. So yeah, how do you say Levi County? Levy County? Yeah, I don't know. But that's where Escambia Emergency Management is currently waiting. As far as flights in and out, that's another thing that's been affected. If you're going to go to Orlando, silly you. No, come on. That's the airport's closed.
Disney World's closed.
Yeah, Disney's closed. And actually, there was a brief time where they were talking about the Tampa airport was going to close, but Disney was going to stay open,
mm-hmm.
you know, because, you know, the mouse got to make that money. And so they did for a while. Well, now it's all just shut down. I mean, it's all get out, you know?
Yeah.
So
the entire area is in shutdown mode.
Yeah. I mean, driving the streets and it's piles and piles of debris and no people.
Oh, no. And just watching I-75 last mm-hmm. night, just it's been deadlocked. And it was already down to Dade County. They had a camera on Dade County, and it was barely moving.
Yeah.
So that shows you how far the backup is going down 95 to get onto 75.
The best analogy that I can think of is, have you ever been at a concert at a big venue, you know, a major venue, where it's a giant parking lot outside of the – I don't mean metaphorically, I mean literally. There's a giant parking lot, right? And if you're parked near the exit, you get out quick, right? The place to park is by the exit. It's a longer walk. Well worth the extra 5 minutes of walking. But then you get out right away. What happens is if you're in the inner circle, so to speak, well, one car at every merge, right? Well, every merge between you and the exit, that means for every 22 cars, you move one car. If you're lucky. Well, the people in Miami-Dade are at the 23rd exit. You know, the 23rd merge. Right? So all the cars ahead of them basically have to clear. I mean, that's the problem is, you know, it's exponential backup every single time you move farther down the state. And so the lower you go, the harder it is to actually get out. I mean, they open all the lanes and they're deploying, you know, gas trucks, I guess, and, you know, also electric charging stations along the way because people, they run out.
You know, speaking of that, I got an email yesterday from my insurance company.
Oh, interesting.
Non-nameable. They said, drive, if you're in the path of the storm, drive your electric vehicle out of the path of the storm.
You know, we didn't talk about this yesterday right. or the day before, but on, I think it was even Sunday. I'm looking through my my list of clips here because I think it might have been on Sunday you actually had. Yeah, that's right. It was it was Sunday in the press conference that DeSantis said this. I thought it was a fascinating thing to observe.
If you have an electrical vehicle, just remember that if you have saltwater intrusion, particularly with storm surge, it can catch on fire. And that creates a major fire hazard. And it puts your home, if it's in a garage in your home, it puts your home in jeopardy of burning down. So these are really significant things. Make sure that if you have an electric vehicle that you're getting it out of the range of any storm surge, get it to higher ground.
Oops, did we miss that part when we were engineering it?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a funny thing about how you get these fires starting these batteries with the saltwater intrusion, and then you can't put the fire out because it burns so hot, and it keeps burning because it's not something that can be extinguished with, you know, water or carbon dioxide or any other mechanism. You just got to sit there and wait for it to burn a hole in the asphalt like they do. I know we had one in our neighborhood, you know, and it just, you know, it's torched up that's what happens, right? You know, and so maybe rethinking the whole idea that everybody ought to move to the EVs, you know, maybe.
Especially if you live along the coast.
Yeah, exactly. Which, by the way, this actually came up, again, I'm kind of hadn't been thinking that this would come up in this segment, but there was at the Escambia County Commission meeting last week, I'm just searching for the clip here, you had somebody bring up this exact concern related to the, you know, well, what happens when you invest all of this money? Remember, we're getting these electric buses in Escambia County, and I'm not able to find it fast enough. When you buy a whole bunch of electric buses in a place that might be prone to a hurricane, well, what happens if you get salt water gets into the buses? You know what? If you're talking about, you know, what's going to happen during a hurricane, this is Keith Bowe. I managed to find it.
Electric buses and floodwaters don't mix because Biden is contributing to our federal tax, contributing our federal tax dollars. Our discussion has been short here at the podium while accepting all of the conversions for electric buses. I'd like to hear more about that. Saltwater flooding, poor roads, and the drainage will certainly make them unreliable. And it's definitely going to affect not only transportation, but our budget.
Also, the charging of them in a crisis. I keep worrying that Escambia County, that has invested in things like, you know, natural gas vehicles for like ECUA and Escambia County, you know, trucks, basically, plus ECAT now going to the electric buses. And I keep thinking, but in a storm, sir, but in a storm,
you know,
it's really nice to be able to pour diesel in those things in a storm. It's not so nice to be able to try to hope you can find electrical power or natural gas. You know, those are some of the issues that you're having, or might have if these things happen.
And a lot of the electrical cars on I-75 are having to be pushed off to the side.
Yeah, just push it off.
Because the batteries are running out as they're sitting in traffic.
Right.
Because it doesn't regenerate itself, you know?
Exactly. And, you know, it's not so easy to just plug it up to something or pour a can in. You know, pour a can of electricity in that thing. It doesn't work that way. No. So 523 on News Radio 92.3, this is going to be a massive impact to central and western Florida all the way through the state. Of course, it's been slowing down just a little bit. We're expecting it early Thursday morning. It had been late Wednesday. It's, you know, 2, 3, 4 is what it looks like on the current projections. But again, the path has been extremely consistent. The intensity has been a little all over the place. Learn that from the future, that we've had several storms now where we've seen the path is, the cone is extremely consistent, very reliable. The intensity models are not to be trusted too much. It doesn't mean that you can't trust people. It just means that we just don't know. We don't know. 523 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about that next vehicle, maybe thinking about whether to get not an EV. Anyway, you're thinking about that next vehicle and trying to decide where to go. Frontier Motors has a fantastic selection of good quality used cars, 300 cars and trucks on the lot. And, you know, you can sample ones that are a year, 2, 3, maybe 4 years old and 10 to maybe 50 or 60,000 miles, low miles, relatively low years, good condition, good prices. And here's the thing, they warranty all their cars to 100,000 miles. And you might not normally think a lot about that, but to me, when I'm buying a used car, I want to make sure that it's going to work and be good. And they will stand behind their cars because they warranty them. But also, you know, I hate to think this way about people, but, you know, flood-damaged cars, water-damaged cars are a thing. And we've had one, and we're going to have a second storm, and that's going to affect inventory. That's also going to affect that people are going to do bad things. And, well, a place like Frontier, you can trust that they're going to inspect the car, and they're only going to sell you good cars, also because they warranty them. So you know that. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
During Cybersecurity Awareness Month, LifeLock wants to give you helpful tips to protect your identity. Using multi-factor authentication can be a line of defense to help protect your personal information. But LifeLock offers comprehensive protection against identity theft. LifeLock not only alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information, but also fixes issues that arise. guaranteed or your money back. Protect your identity today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use my name, Clay, as the promo code. Terms apply.
When you find out you're pregnant, everything changes. Every choice now impacts a child's future. Research has proven that smoking weed while pregnant can hurt babies. Cannabis passes through the placenta, leading to brain development issues, anxiety, poor academic performance, and physical problems at birth. Any use of THC while breastfeeding is also dangerous for babies. Your child or grandchild's future starts now. Don't put it at risk. Say no to marijuana while pregnant. This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mommy, want to play a game with me and Dad?
Mommy's not feeling good.
You need to vaporize that cold.
Vaporize?
Yeah, with DayQuil VapoCool. It's DayQuil plus a rush of Vicks vapors.
Whoa.
Come on, honey. Let's let Mommy rest.
You guys are amazing. And so is DayQuil VapoCool.
DayQuil VapoCool, the vaporizing daytime coughing, aching, fever, power through your day medicine. And to vaporize sore throat pain, try Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What? Were you saying something?
Look, I don't speak Spanish.
Good morning, 525. Sorry, 7 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It's funny, I was looking at my clock and it said 526.55. And instead of rounding up and speaking properly, I rounded down. I don't. Minus 2.
It's today's core math. Just don't worry about it.
No, it's good. Actually, I can't blame. I have good math skills. I can't blame it on that. You know, I was taught properly in public school, even back in the day. Good schools in DuPage County, Illinois. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the death toll from Helene is now close to 100 in North Carolina alone. The Department of Health and Human Services there reporting yesterday 89 people had died due to effects from the storm. Half of those were in Buncombe County. Emergency crews are still out there doing search and rescue missions trying to contact people who've been missing. An Afghan citizen living in Oklahoma City was arrested and charged with planning to conduct an Election Day terrorist attack in support of ISIS. A criminal complaint alleges the man took steps to liquidate his family's assets, resettle members of his family overseas, acquire AK-47 rifles and ammunition, and commit a terrorist attack.
He wanted to attack people on Election Day was the goal, to attack, presumably, polling places. They've not said that specifically that I have seen, but, you know, if you're looking for crowds on Election Day,
right, that
one would
seems
think,
to be
which,
where they would be. Yeah.
Which it's the kind of thing where, you know, typically these very surprising attacks, we don't think of ourselves as being vulnerable because we're used to doing the things we do, and then somebody attacks a place, we're like, oh, got to think about that, right?
Right.
And, I mean, you know, where do they attack election, you know, people who participate in elections? Like Afghanistan is what you think of. Well, he's, you know, I mean, you see the connection. But the point is, it's just that's, you know, voting might be a life-threatening thing. I mean, going to a Trump rally cost somebody their life, you know. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you never think about security at things like polling places until
right.
after something happens.
That's right.
Governor DeSantis says he does not have time for what he's calling Kamala Harris's political games as the state prepares for Hurricane Milton.
My focus has not been on dealing with Kamala Harris. I saw the news report. I didn't know she tried to contact me. But I'd also say it's not about you, Kamala. It's about the people of Florida.
Apparently, Harris is accusing the governor of being selfish and irresponsible for ignoring her phone calls here leading up to the hurricane. The governor said he didn't know that Harris had tried to contact him.
Yeah, this is the dumbest thing ever. The fact that the Harris campaign is making a thing out of it requires DeSantis to make a thing out of it. Can we just be adults? And, oh, he didn't take my phone call. And if he didn't, okay, so what? You don't need to talk about that, even if he didn't, which they're saying he never knew it was happening, right? Well, now that she's just, please, a nation of adults. That's what I prefer to see. David, thanks so much for the update. I did listen to the Supreme Court oral arguments yesterday on the ghost gun issue, and I agree. I'm not going to have time to cover it today because there's so much, plus the hurricane. But I do agree with the court watchers who think that the Supreme Court is likely to uphold the ATF's interpretation that these kits that you buy where you have to do a little bit of manufacturing or drilling or tab removal or whatever to get the receiver in functioning order, that is going to be upheld. And I think that's right. Based on how the law is written, based on the arguments in particular and what the Supreme Court justices say, it'll probably be unanimous, actually.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Hurricane Milton is a monster storm, a Category 5, top of the scale, hitting Florida's west coast tonight into tomorrow and moving across the state. There's already some rain.
I can't give you the exact location where landfall is going to be, but what I can tell you is north of the storm is where they're going to see the heaviest rain. South of it is where we're going to see the incredible, dangerous, and potentially deadly storm surge. We are expecting some weakening, but the storm surge is going to remain the same. The energy with the storm is actually going to expand and affect a lot more real estate.
Fox senior meteorologist Janice Dean. Vice President Harris on the CBS Late Show with Stephen Colbert reacts to a report that former President Trump sent rare at the time COVID tests to Russian President Putin for his personal use.
He thinks Vladimir Putin is his friend. What about the American people? They should be your first friend.
The Trump campaign denies that story. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. It is 70 degrees right now. We've got mostly clear skies in Pensacola this morning. Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons says despite some recent shootings making news headlines, Escambia County is not becoming more dangerous. He says statistically, the calls for service have actually decreased slightly in the last few years.
I believe that we are on a good path here. I think that the numbers, again, the homicide numbers are about what they were last couple of years and not what they were 10, 20 years ago, but also the call volume, again, down a couple thousand here and there is going to end up making a big difference.
And Simmons says he's been working with the Escambia Board of County Commissioners to get more deputies on the streets and also to implement new tech programs such as the new camera systems he wants to place in high crime areas. He believes these new programs will continue to make Escambia County safer. The Santa Rosa Board of Commissioners approving a change in their funding agreement for the new District 1 Medical Examiner's Office this week. The change coming due to an increase in construction costs for the new facility.
I'd just like to have the quick math of, you know, what it's going to cost all the different counties. For instance, this increase.
Yeah, the increase will go to $800,000 for Escambia, Santa Rosa, and Okaloosa, and $425,000 for Walton. So that'll take us from 4.617 to 5.417.
And that from this week's Santa Rosa County Board meeting. The change was approved unanimously by Santa Rosa County Commissioners. Walton County has already approved the amendment on their end. Okaloosa voting next week. No word yet when Escambia Commissioners will take up that change. One person has died after a crash on I-10 in Escambia County yesterday. That happened just before 3 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon. FHP says the SUV was headed westbound when it ran off the road and hit an oak tree. The vehicle then burst into flames. Troopers say neither the driver or the vehicle have been identified as of yet. Escambia Fire Rescue put out the fire. EMS reported that the driver had died at 3:05 p.m. Now, a Kansas woman now facing charges after that shooting on Pensacola Beach.
The victim was shot by his wife during a disturbance. Basically, a man and wife got in an argument at their home, I guess, on Pensacola Beach, or where they were staying on Pensacola Beach. She ends up shooting him. He was transported to the hospital. He's still alive as far as I know, but okay. She was charged with attempted homicide.
And that happened on Monday night. Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons said the man was flown to a hospital. No update on his condition. 31-year-old Jacqueline King of Wichita, Kansas, was arrested and is charged with attempted homicide in the case. Well, they are preparing for potential devastation in Tampa Bay. Hurricane Milton is making its way towards Florida. Thousands of people evacuating. Spokeswoman Jennifer Crabtree says Tampa's General Hospital will stay open through the storm.
Prepared. We are going to gear up and take care of our patients. We're not going anywhere, and so we're hunkering down, and we're going to manage the storm as it comes.
And in the meantime, crews currently working to clear debris left behind after Helene. The mayor says the massive piles of debris could turn into deadly projectiles when this new storm makes landfall early on Thursday morning. Dump trucks currently carrying away loads of debris off of the beaches. It's 5:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We do have a sunny day in store for you today, with temperatures warming up near 85 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 65. For Thursday, plenty of sunshine, high near 82. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 62 degrees. For Friday, we will be looking at a slightly cooler afternoon, high near 80 degrees, plenty of sunshine, low Friday night near 62. Stay connected to Channel 3 News' first morning weather team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, we've got 70 degrees in both Pensacola and Gulf Breeze. It is 68 in Milton. Our next news at 6, we've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yield shifted slightly lower this morning, days after the rate on the 10-year note hit its highest level in more than 2 months. The 10-year Treasury yield was 2 basis points lower at 4.013%. The 2-year Treasury slipped over 2 basis points to 3.952%. NVIDIA, the $3 trillion chipmaker powering much of the artificial intelligence revolution, is expanding its presence in Pennsylvania. The global company has chosen Pittsburgh as its first AI tech community. It will establish joint technology centers with Carnegie Mellon University and the University of Pittsburgh. CMU's center will focus on robotics, while Pitt's is centered on health sciences. The Department of Justice has indicated that it is considering a possible breakup of Google as an antitrust remedy. The DOJ said the judge has yet to decide on the specifics of the remedies, but Google will likely appeal. Futures are slightly lower. That's Your Money Now.
I'm Robert Bender, your supervisor of elections. The general election is underway, and now is the time to make sure you have a say in this election. Election day is November 5th, and there are 3 ways you can vote. 1, you can request a vote by mail ballot and return it by mail or leave it in a secure ballot intake station at any early voting site. 2, you can vote early at any one of our 10 area early voting sites from October 21st through November 2nd. And 3, you can vote at your polling place on election day. Whatever you decide, just get out your vote.
For more information, visit escambiavotes.gov or call 850-595-3900.
Cinderella would daydream of a beautiful, picturesque life in her fairy tale-like village, only to be reminded it was only a dream until she receives a magical visit from her fairy godmother to transform her life. Ballet Pensacola is thrilled to bring this classic story with exquisite choreography from the new artistic director, Stefano Candreva. Cinderella is for all ages. Performances are October the 11th through the 13th and the 18th through the 20th at the Center. Visit balletpensacola.org or the Pensacola Little Theater box office for tickets.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Fortunate last night, I had the phone call, you know, at the midnight hour of another shooting that happened right by Catholic High School in a neighborhood called Bell's Head. And so my plea today is that if you know something, say something. We've had all these killings throughout our community, and not just District 3, but through all 5 of our districts. And unfortunately, people are not coming forward.
Commissioner May, I feel for what you said with kids, but in the last 24 hours, we had an adult kill someone on North Loop. I talked to the sheriff this morning about something else. We had a homeless shoot another homeless person. That one didn't end up deceased, but's in the hospital. I don't know what's going on. It seems like the shootings, doesn't matter if it's, I know, kids everywhere. So it's going on everywhere.
Escambia County Commissioner's talking about the perception that there's a rash of shootings, and I'd share the perception. Something we talked about yesterday with Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Yeah, it does seem like there's been a lot, and we have more on the agenda for today to talk about these incidents. We talk about each one individually because everyone is an individual case, but as an overall pattern, do you feel like things are getting better? Do you feel like, I mean, what's your sense of this? Because you live it every day, and your deputies and detectives deal with this stuff every day. It feels to me as a citizen like it's not getting much better. But you tell me, what's your perception?
Well, I mean, obviously one is too many, right, when you have these things. And we do investigate them as a one-off type of thing, and we look at those. I had about three or four shootings to talk about today,
yeah.
And all of them but that one is a one-on-one type of thing. It's not a drive-by.
It's not part of a pattern.
Not a random thing. In fact, none of these are random. They're all either acquaintances or spouses in one case that we had overnight. The case that Commissioner May was talking about, we have investigators out. We have several suspects. We're looking into whether that is drug-related. Again, I talk a lot about what the root cause of these shootings or this violence is, and it is drug-related or is domestic, and that's what you'll see. I think we do have one where some homeless people got into an argument over a bicycle that resulted in. I think we had one last week that shooting was a result of a cigarette, asking for a cigarette. So those are, those are unique,
yeah.
Is my point. And I will tell you, we go through by statistics, and if you say, well, is it getting better? Our homicide numbers are almost identical to what they were last year.
Okay.
And a couple years ago and a couple years before that. Again, one is too many. We typically go by, are things getting better based on our calls for service? Or are we getting fewer calls? Because you're always going to have these small groups of people that decide they're going to do drugs or rip someone off, or there's going to be some people that decide that in a domestic situation that gun violence is the only way around it.
Yeah.
We had a murder-suicide two weeks ago where a mother took the life of her small child and then took her own life. So those things are difficult for us to prevent from a law enforcement standpoint. But the calls for service are down this year compared to last year, and they're down this year. Last year they were down compared to the year before. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the calls, call volume that we're getting, yeah, they're down, not significant, but by a couple thousand calls a year. So if we think that if we continue to push forward with again the boots on the street and getting more deputies on the street, but also the technology and the cameras that we've talked about a lot over the last year or so.
Yeah.
I think that's starting to having some impact. In fact, later on, I'll discuss the use of the cameras in the real-time crime center on one of the cases that we've had.
Yeah, and that's something that Lumen mentioned specifically is that, you've been real good working with them on cameras, mm-hmm. and, getting more awareness, more patrols in high-intensity areas, which we know.
I mean,
there are certain parts of town that that's where you're going to have more crime. So what can we do there? Let's talk about a couple of the particulars. This is one that doesn't so much fit a pattern, I guess, but overnight, out on Pensacola Beach, on Via de Luna, we had a shooting.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Was a domestic situation. Let's see here. It looks like a wife. Who shot who here? Let me double check my. the victim was shot by his wife during a disturbance. Basically, a man and wife got in an argument at their home, I guess, on Pensacola Beach, or where they were staying on Pensacola Beach. She ends up shooting him. He was transported to the hospital. He's still alive, as far as I know, but
okay.
She was charged with attempted homicide.
Okay,
attempted murder.
Okay, and then, you mentioned there were several. One was the homeless case where, this is Beggs Lane, right? Fight over bike?
Yeah, a guy said he was bugging him a lot, and then he said the victim allegedly said he was going to go tear up your bicycle, and the one homeless guy shot the other homeless guy because he was trying to protect his bicycle. We didn't charge him with attempted homicide in that case. I talked to investigators about why. If you shoot somebody, it's an uphill battle to get us to not charge you with attempted homicide. You point a gun at somebody, you're trying to kill them. But in this situation, apparently he aimed low and he attempted to not kill him. But
so he missed in hitting.
Yeah. Well, he did hit him in a leg or in the lower abdomen.
But area. I mean, he was trying to miss and he missed missing.
Yeah. Okay. So he's charged with attempted battery. I'm sorry, aggravated battery. Of the attempted murder.
You may not be able to answer this question, but is the average homeless person carrying a gun?
I would say no. I like to say no. I would tell you that Beggs Lane specifically, if you've been by there, there's a lot of people down there that we do get some calls for service there. And when I say calls for service, they have a stabbing and we have a shooting. This is not an area that's immune to the, you know, some of the violence that we've seen. So you can kind of look at these areas of Escambia County, and there's some areas in like the ShotSpotter areas where we have seen a heavier instance of gun violence, and that's why we put the ShotSpotter system there in those 3 square miles. But Beggs Lane is beginning, to get more and more violent.
We also had the one on Fairfield that Lumen was talking about. He called it in the Bell's Head community, where a young man named Stank, I guess is the nickname that he goes by, was shot and killed. Is that right? Who played for Lumen, which a lot of these kids have played for Lumen and CISA. So what happened in that case?
That's what I was talking about. We have basically was out front of the of a residence there, and he ends up getting shot by, it looks like, 3 to 4 people that were in another car. And again, we're looking to see if that was drug related.
Okay.
We're investigating it. We do have several suspects in this case, but we're going to continue with the investigation. And ultimately we feel like we'll be able to make some arrests.
So I do have a question. You made me think of something. I'm always thinking, you know, what do we need to do? Where's the problem, right? What's the problem and how does the problem get fixed? Okay. I can't tell you how many times that we see particularly gang or drug or, you know, young unmarried male, which is very often involved in some kind of criminal activity, winds up being the victim of a shooting, whether they were involved in crime at the time. Typically, yes. Okay. But, and then the family comes on, and particularly mom, crying about her baby, her beautiful angel who never did anything wrong. And we show some picture on TV of this person at their very best in life. Do they know that's not true, or do they not know what's going on with their kids' lives? Or, you know, because it feels like there's an unwillingness to accept the reality of my kid is a problem, you know? And if the parents can't even admit the problem, then how? I mean, do they know? Are they lying to me when they're on TV crying, or do they not know, or like willful self-deception?
We're still in the middle of that investigation, so I won't comment on that.
Yeah, and I don't mean that one in particular. It just makes me think in general. I hear this a lot, right? And it turns
general,
out they were...
They know.
Okay.
Here's the thing. They know what's going on. They've known for some time. The many times, the victims and the suspects both have extensive criminal felony records.
Yeah.
To include getting shot, shooting at people, all these sorts of things. And I talked a couple of months ago at a press conference I did, and I said, these are the people responsible. These are... there is a personal responsibility here, and the person that's responsible in these situations are the people who's committing the crimes. They're committing crimes, and that leads to an escalation of violence, and then they'll pick up a gun and they'll end up shooting, someone or robbing somebody. And then, like you said, do the parents and the family know? I'm not saying they shouldn't mourn the loss of a loved one. They certainly should do that. But to get out there and pretend like, some of these people are angels is just not accurate. And it's... but if you want to remember your loved one that way, that's fine. That's your prerogative. But you're not going to convince me of that, because I know the criminal histories of a lot of people that are involved in these shootings.
I guess I feel like
this isn't their first crime.
I guess I feel like just one time I'd like to hear a parent say, you know what? Yeah, they were a mess. They were involved in crime. I don't like to say it because it's my kid and I'm in deep, even a bad kid you mourn the loss of. But it's like this constant refrain that these wonderful, delightful, fantastic, law-abiding, straight-A students just suddenly wound up in the middle of a gang shooting. You know what I mean? And, happen, but that's not the norm.
And it gets even deeper than that, obviously. There are, again, not speaking of specifics, I will tell you that there are people that come to us, family members that do come to us, friends and acquaintances that do come to us, and they say, well, he's going down a bad path, or, he had been, in a fight with these people or those people. So they do know that. The other issue is kind of what Commissioner May was referring to, is if you know something, say something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so my point is it gets worse than that, because they don't say anything. They won't cooperate. There's video cameras on the house, and we ask if they've got video. No, we don't have video. Have you seen anything? No, we haven't seen anything. Do you know who he's had a beef with or she's had a beef with? No, we don't know anything about anything. or they just won't talk to us at all. They just go back into their house. So, I happen to believe that they know Junior's involved in bad stuff almost every time.
Mm-hmm.
And then they still refuse to cooperate. So what are you going to do?
I guess I'm just kind of thinking out loud about this for the first time, but we've recently seen this new use of law to punish the parents of school shooters, who gave them the gun, right, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sort of thinking in that direction is, when will the parents become accountable? And step one is maybe just stop lying, but just that's kind of where my head's at. And I just was kind of bouncing ideas off of you.
I mentioned this again a couple of weeks ago. If your loved one comes home with a new car every day,
mm-hmm.
or he's got people that are around the house and they're always carrying guns and they always got money, but they don't have a job, something's going on.
Right.
If you pretend to be oblivious, it's on you. That's your fault. So, there's a lot of merit to what you say, and that these families do know or they suspect something. My heart breaks for the families that call us up and say, "Hey, I'm having trouble with my son or my daughter, and I don't know what to do." And we try our best to help them. At least they're trying to help. They understand mm-hmm. that this is going to lead to a bad ending. But there are some who just simply try to ignore it or just lie about it.
And to your credit, you do things like the Blazer Academy mm-hmm. and you do community outreach, and you guys just graduated another group last week. So there's a lot of good things being done, and there's actual positive effort being done to fix it. I just think of, what's the real shape of the problem in some of these families, and that's it. I did want to not go without asking about this other case though. I think David Kuker is the person's name who was inside a car kind of standing guard at a house or something, and then his friend came over and he shot him through and that's an unjustified shooting, right?
Yeah, yeah. He and an acquaintance were concerned about an outside party, mm-hmm. and this gets confusing, but an outside party they were afraid of. And so he thought that he would lay in wait basically in the back seat of a car. I think he's at his sister's house, and his acquaintance was on the front porch or in the house. And that acquaintance gets up and says, "Hey, well, I haven't seen him in a while." So he goes over to the car and he shoots him through the back window of the car,
like shooting out of the car.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, from the inside of the car. Yeah. He gets, I'm assuming, startled or whatever, but he ends up shooting out through the window, and there was no reason to. So it wasn't reasonable. We ended up charging him with manslaughter, which is a death due to gross negligence, action or inaction. And we ended up charging him with that manslaughter. So these are unique. Again,
they are
one-offs. These
There's
are
a really bunch of them, but they're all weird ones. Yeah,
and all the domestic ones. But I really do believe, getting back to your point, I believe that we are on a good path here. I think that the numbers, again, the homicide numbers are about what they were last couple of years, and not what they were 10, 20 years ago. But also the call volume, again, down a couple thousand here and there, is going to end up making a big difference. The fact that I've been working with the county commission getting more deputies based upon our increase in our population,
mm-hmm.
And then the basically just the transitions of where people live and what areas people are attracted to, and then I think with the technology and the cameras, I think we're on a good track here. I think you'll see a lot of positive things going on in the public safety of Rome.
Very good. And just a moment, because I want to just make sure we don't go without mentioning it, but you're preparing another team to deploy, if needed, to this hurricane, to Milton?
Yeah, we got the call a couple of days ago from Florida Sheriff's Association to let us know what you can deploy, because a lot of teams are just now getting back. As you recall, we've
from
been
Helene,
back for about
yeah,
a week now.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we've unpacked everything, but we just leave it in the truck now, load up the trucks again, because this looks like it's going to be a pretty bad one. And depending upon where it hits, they're going to need a lot of help. I know, Escambia County is probably the farthest away from them.
Right.
But we're gonna go, because again, this could be us next week. It could be us next year. And the partnerships that we have with other law enforcement agencies to help each other out is just tremendous.
And as we're often talking about with the emergency manager folks, it's experience and seasoning, and all of those things contribute to a more effective police force if and when we have to deal with it ourselves. Sheriff Chip Simmons from Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Sheriff, as always, thanks for the time. Thanks for indulging me a little bit in my kind of, little odd questions today. But, I just think we need to talk about some of this stuff, and sometimes we avoid it because it's uncomfortable. So thank you. I appreciate it, sir.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Absolutely. 5:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you need to get any kind of supplies for your hardware project, whether it's home remodeling, repairs, improvements, or you build things for a living, all different levels of competence on this. I'm at the low level, but anybody, they can help. If you build things for a living, you might not know about Pensacola Harbor, which is kind of sad because what they have been doing for 173 years is helping people just like you build things all around Pensacola. In fact, if you walk around, you can see that building, that building, that building, especially if it's more than about 50 years old, almost all of them would have been built by people using Pensacola Hardware stuff. And these days, sure, lots of them as well. And that's the point. They can help put you on a monthly bill if you're a construction contractor or something like that. They can, instead of having to send a guy down with the credit card, they can ship it to your job site, which saves you time. They'll have it in stock, so you don't have to wait for somebody to order something for a day. And what I always think the big benefit with Pensacola Hardware is expertise. You get knowledge. You get people who have solved these problems before. They know how to solve them. You're not going to be the first, and they can help you figure it out. They know the codes to make sure that you're doing it right. Like, all of that stuff is part of what you get when you go to Pensacola Hardware. Plus, fantastic housewares for gifts in the front of the store. Trust me. Like, it's a really, it's like going to, like, the toy store, like Macy's, for the adults. You know, like, there's Yeti and cook grills and gumbo pots and knives and just all kinds of stuff. So whether you're buying to build something or buying to, you know, just give a gift, Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Is your house making you sick? Learn about the hazards lurking in your home that can affect your health due to high humidity levels and excess moisture. High humidity levels and excess moisture inside the home are the leading cause of insect infestation, mold, mildew, musty odors, and fungi, which can result in making you sick. Condensations on windows and vents, blistering or peeling paint, and cupping of hardwood floors are all signs of high humidity levels and excess moisture. Learn more today at 9 on Pep Talk with Lisa Murphy from Southern Climate Solutions.
This is Coke Zero Sugar. Could I be the best Coke ever? Listen closely. Hear those bubbles? That mouth-watering waterfall? Delicious. Ice cold. And zero sugar. Is Coke Zero Sugar the best Coke ever? Try and decide.
Try Coke Zero Sugar today and decide for yourself if it's the best Coke ever. Find Coke Zero Sugar at any local retailer.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
No matter how you listen, you can rely on News Radio Pensacola to keep you informed and safe when storms strike. You can listen on our mobile app.
You'd like some drinks, senor, while you wait. I will put it on the Underhill's bill.
Yes, very good. I'll have a Bloody Mary and a steak sandwich and a steak sandwich, please.
Very good, senor.
Can I borrow your towel? My car just hit a water buffalo. 5:58 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You ever seen a spleen that large? No, not since breakfast. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our with our headlines. David?
Well, an Afghan citizen that was living in Oklahoma City arrested and charged with planning to conduct an Election Day terrorist attack in support of ISIS. A criminal complaint alleges the man liquidated his family's assets, resettled members of his family overseas, and acquired AK-47 rifles and ammunition to commit that attack.
Yeah, Gulf Breeze turned out not to be a serious threat, but the kid who made it got arrested 6 minutes after the phone call initiated the awareness of Gulf Breeze PD yesterday. Pretty good response time, y'all. Well done.